Welcome everyone this morning, and say it sure is good to see this number. Good to see everyone, our young folks, and just everybody. It's just such a blessing. You know, sometimes the Lord just orders things a different way, and Brother Dewey's here with us this morning. Wasn't expecting that, but Brother, I feel like the Lord is ordering it. Just like we were saying, we want to trust Him. It's always best to get out of the way when you see the Lord coming, and He'll direct and He'll lead and guide. So I'm thankful for that this morning, and thankful for Sister Kelly's just so excited for what the Lord's doing. And after the service, what we'll do is extend the right hand of fellowship. Did I get that right? Right hand of welcome. I was thinking about you, Miss Jan. We'll do the right hand of welcome this morning for her and everything. But I'm excited about that. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing. If you look around, I've heard of several people getting saved here in just the last few weeks. And I feel the Lord moving, not just here, but around the county. This could be the last roundup. That's going to happen. There's going to be that last person to get saved before the Lord comes back. It's going to happen. It's going to be that way. But now's the time to get in. I'll say that. But again, I'm so thankful for Brother Dewey and his wife being here this morning. And what we'll do is we'll let him come on up and preach and just let the Lord lead, brother.
Making me nervous. I don't like to be nervous. So if it's okay, I just make myself at home. Be all right. Miss Wilson, I think I got an Amber Alert out on you this morning. You come up missing over on the other side of the mountain. Just saying. But it's good to see you. It's good to see folk. I want to thank you for your faithfulness over the last 8 years. God has used our family to reach the Spanish-speaking population there in the great state of Texas. January 29th was our last Sunday there before turning that work over. And now we're visiting our supporting churches and seeing where the Lord would have us to go next. You pray for us. When I left here last time, I had a little bit more hair, and there's a little less of me. Now there's a little less hair, more of me. And I was going to do something about it, but I'm glad I'm amongst the giants here. And he's just a little further along up here than I am, but I'm coming. And I knew we had to do something to get things going. And so at the beginning of the year, joined the gym. And you pray for me. Over the last quarter, I've lost somewhere between 100 and $125, I can't remember. Y'all pray. And watch the Lord work. Amen. Oh, it is so good to be here. I can't tell you how much we've prayed for y'all as y'all have prayed for us. And to look amongst you and see the faithful is a blessing to my heart. To see the steadfastness. And you'll be honored, I believe, when you get to heaven and the fruit is placed there by your account. When we left there, there was a little over 80 in attendance. On Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, they had a little over 100. And so you pray that work continues to stay strong, continues to hold fast. I believe we are in the last days. I believe revival needs to be more than a calendar. It needs to be a state of heart. It's something that we have to engage. I don't expect that the Spirit of God will deal with the heart of man unless the heart of man is accepting to the work of the Spirit of God. And that's what's missing today, is the pliable heart of man. The Spirit of God's not changed one bit. And I was listening to this great Sunday school lesson. If I was a member here, I'd be in this Sunday school class right here. And I'd try to get every one of y'all up here too. I would sit under this teaching. And our dear brother mentioned this morning that they can't wipe us out. Talking about the children of God. The Israelites at that time. And I think I'll just preach a message this morning entitled, They can't wipe us out, but we can die. So let's pray before we go into the Word of God. Father, we do thank you for your love, your mercy. Thank you for your hand, your leading, guiding, and directing. And I do pray that you do a work here amongst us this morning. I pray that each heart that is in the presence here, I pray, God, that we'd be found pliable ground, Lord, for the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to do a work. And I do pray, O Spirit of God, that you would take your Word, embed it deep within our hearts, and do the work that only you can do. And Lord, we need your help. Lord, I stand no doubt where the arm of flesh can, will, and has failed. And Lord, the fear that enters my heart and soul at this time, knowing that I could mess this up, I pray, oh God, that you would take control, that you'd do a work that only you can do. Help your people, I pray. Many burdened, many hurting, many encouraged, some discouraged. Lord, whatever the need may be, I pray, God, that you'd meet it in this very hour. Lord, as always, in a group like this, we never want to assume that everyone has accepted Christ as their Savior, everyone has been born again. But Lord, you know our hearts. For that one that may be far from you, I pray, God, that you'd draw them ever so nigh, even during this hour. Lord, your word teaches us that today is the day of salvation. So help that soul to understand the timeline that you've got in their lives. Lord, we'll be careful to thank you for everything that you do here and in our lives, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you take your Bible, go with me to Hebrews chapter number 4, please. Hebrews chapter number 4. I began to receive text messages this morning on our way to church of people that are saying they're praying for us. And praying as God uses us. And I thought to myself, something's going to happen. I don't know what, but something's going to happen. And so we got here, and God was already ahead of us, and now here we go. I believe the writer of Hebrews is the Apostle Paul. I believe that he talks about being the Jew of the Jews, going to the Jews first, the Gentiles second, because he could win them, he could relate to them easier, win them to God, and then use them to reach the Gentiles. And just like always, when it comes down to Christianity, we always end up with our own opinions, our own thought process somewhere along the way. And I don't have to look far, nor do you, to see how sometimes our opinions, our hearts, our mindsets can drive us to a different thought process that could be, and most of the time, if we would check it according to Scripture, will be a little bit off of God's beaten path. Now, I say that to say this. Here we have a converted group of Jews that are constantly and repeatedly wanting to turn back to their religion. In chapters number 1 and chapter number 2, chapter 3, even into chapter 4, Paul begins to, the writer of Hebrews, if you're hung up on that, begins to instruct them that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is higher than the angels. And Jesus Christ is greater than any leader. They're referring to Moses here in chapter number 3. And he walks the children of God through this passage. And we'll begin here in chapter 3 and start, I believe, here in verse number 5. And the Bible says, And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are we, if we hold fast the confidence that the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Excuse me.
Wherefore, verse number 7. As the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Now, you remember the story. It wasn't that God wanted them to stay in the wilderness. They stayed in the wilderness by choice. We could camp out there for, well, until the evening service. We can't be wiped out, but we can die. He goes on here in verse number 9. He says, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err, but where? In their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now he's fixing to get into something that is going to help us all. Now, Brother Dewey normally don't deal with much gory. I like to live in the glory, but the gory is a reality. The Bible uses this word rest. This word rest has to do with a deep sleep, a death experience. In Spanish, we use the word reposar. There's reposar, which means to rest, but there's descansar, which means to rest also. And as you are in these pews and you're resting, you're not completely rested, you're resting. If you move your feet, then it becomes a balancing act. So you're what we would say descansando. You're resting, but not reposando. You think about it like this: when a government official dies, and they take their body and they put it in the Capitol building or a place like that, they say that their body lies in state. Now, there's an influential person that's not part of our government. He may die, and they may use a government building to lay his body. They'll say he lies in repose. Either way, they're dead, right? But that repose is where we get our word rest right here. Now, I want you to think about it. I'll give you an example before we get going. But Lazarus was dead. The witnesses there at the tomb of Lazarus blamed the Lord for being late. Blamed him, if you will, for the death of Lazarus. I want you to think about this as you get ready to enter into this time of revival. Lazarus was dead to everything but one thing. Lazarus was dead to everything but one thing. He was dead to everything except for the voice of Almighty God. Paul is writing these Jews, and he's saying, y'all can't enter this rest. You can't die to self. You can't be dead to everything around you except for the voice of God, because had you be dead, had you enter into this rest, you wouldn't still be in the wilderness. Now we're talking about the children of God. We're talking about saved people wandering around when they have the voice of God in their hearts and their minds. They have the audible voice of God in their ear through their leadership. Here today, the child of God, we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God to teach us the Word of God. Now, why is it today we choose not to live in this rest? The reason we do this is because there's no difference between us and them. He says so in verse number 11, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And here's the warning. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now, unbelief here, you're going to see it as the word disobedience later. Both mean disobedience. The Bible says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into, here it is, his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Now, we're getting to a point where he's starting to sort them out. We've talked very generally. The Apostle Paul here has talked very generally concerning the Israelites. Now he's starting to separate them. And he's starting to say, there are some that entered into my rest, and there were some that chose not to enter into my rest, and the ones that chose not to enter into my rest, those are the carcasses that you had to walk over to enter into the promised land. Now, I'm a big proponent of it don't matter how you start as long as you start. But it's how you finish. And in between those two points in time, as long as there's breath in our bodies, there's always an opportunity to return. So let's understand this and understand this well. If you today have a spot, an area of unbelief in your heart, the Word of God will and can fix that for you. If you will accept the fact that God wants to do a work in your life beyond where you are right now, God will and can do that for you today. If you're here today and this makes absolutely no sense to you at all, then today may be your starting point. In chapter number 4, he says this, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse number 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So what was the problem? The word of God or their faith? The problem was their faith. Well, you don't understand my circumstance. God does. You don't understand my situation. God does. You don't know my family. God does. As the Jew became I a Jew. You know what? It's good to be back in the mountains of North Carolina. I wasn't raised here. I wasn't born here. But I tell you what, if I got to choose where I'd be from, it'd be the mountains of North Carolina. But do you know who can reach mountain folk the best? Mountain folk. And nobody can relate to mountain folk like mountain folk relate to mountain folk. I have sit and listen to my father-in-law. I have to listen to him about 5 minutes of talking before my ear gets trained to understand what he's saying. Y'all, any of y'all know what I'm talking about? And there are times where I have to say, Paul, what are you saying? And he'll repeat himself. And it's no better. And I just go, okay, that's what I thought you said. But that's what happens sometimes when we hear the word of God. Our faith is focused on something else, and we miss what's being said because our heart and our ears are not trained to it. The Bible says,
In verse number four, verse number three, excuse me. For he which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What he's trying to do is he's trying to separate this thing. You can't work. It's not about work. Being saved is not about works. Being spiritual is not about works. Most people I know that are spiritual don't even know they're spiritual. You with me? And Jews, this is a stumbling block for them. They think, well, as long as I sing in the choir, as long as I give, as long as I'm here, then that's spirituality. No, no, and we'll see that in a minute. That's bottom line Christianity. Basics, if you will. Now, he says this, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on his wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And what he's saying is if God is giving us this example, if God can rest knowing that it's okay, it's done, it is good, then we can rest. Too many times today, Christians are running to and fro and are being shifted by every wind of doctrine because they're not resting. And we're going to get to a verse, and every one of y'all are going to be like, I love this verse, and I've heard this verse, and I know this verse, and da-da-da-da-da. But watch the context, because that's what we need more today than ever. So he says this. In verse number 5, he says, in this place, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And that simply means disobedience. Again, he limited a certain day, saying, David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you hear his voice, what? Harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And he remained therefore a rest. There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. You know why you can't rest? You know why things are this way? You know what? You just shut off Fox News. Let's just start right there. Biden, Bo, all of them, it don't matter to me. God's in control of this thing. Amen. And the things that I allow to influence me, that includes family, by the way. But with the things I allow to influence me, they're going to keep me from resting. They're going to have me stirred the wrong direction. And what happens is the problems of life are what we focus on more than we're focused on God. I mean, what is this faith? Is this faith just simply showing up on Sunday? Is this faith just simply doing and sounding spiritual? Faith has to have shoes. Shoe leather proves the faith. Y'all, that's a good word. Yunzes need to be busy about getting mountain folk. Yes. Only you are going to reach this area. We're getting to the root. It's coming. Watch what we say here. Let us labor, verse number 11. Therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the infirmities, with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Paul's painted the picture. Saved by the good grace of God, following the leadership of God, things get out of whack in our hearts, the cares of this world take over, we get out of the will of God, we continue to wander in the wilderness, we've got example, thrice example, after example of people who've walked in this world, and carnal people, carnal Christians, they've died. We got example. And we will constantly, continually just walk over their carcasses, never changing a thing in our own lives. Then it won't be long. It'll be us, the very people who are walking over those carcasses, will be lying right beside them. The Word of God, mixed with our faith, does a work that only God can and will do. Me and it of myself, it don't happen. I don't know how many times I've wept. I don't know how many times I've cried. I don't know how many times my wife and I have wept, how many times my wife and I have cried over the Spanish-speaking population. It just came to a point where I was just overwhelmed. There are 2.5 million people in our county, and 1.5 million of those spoke Spanish. You could just toss a rock out the window and hit one. Because of that, it just got on me. And it got heavier and it got heavier, and I got to thinking, God, you've got to do something. And God says, I did everything I'm supposed to do. If you'll just take this word, mangle it with some faith, you'll enter into this rest. Now, the whole point of this is that we believe the Word of God. And we allow the Word of God to read us, examine us, and speak to us. See, I can't always focus on the trials of my life. December is the worst month in the calendar year for me. My sister went to be with the Lord. We've adopted her son. My mother went to be with the Lord. My father went to be with the Lord. All in December. My sister and I, on January 1, we call each other and say, well, I'm glad we made it. I could focus on that. I could focus on the hurts. I could focus on the things. I could focus on the problems. And when, as long as I'm focusing on that, guess who's happy with that? The devil's happy with that. Because I'm not focusing on the one who brought this internal rest that I need to just allow the Word of God mixed with my faith, give it to me. Help me with it. Help me walk in it.
You're like, Brother Phil, Brother Dewey, God bless your heart. I hear what you're saying, but you just don't know.
Really? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. See, we live in a time and a day where we want God to just grab us and move us instead of wooing us. And see, if I can, I don't know how this thing works, but I feel like I'm probably not supposed to get off here, but I'm coming down here, so y'all be okay. You want to help me? He's like, this ain't going to be good. No, stay there. You, sir, can you help me? Yeah, you, He's like, I'm glad I paid attention. Come on. What's your name? Uh-oh. Wyatt. I'm so glad you waited till you got up here to answer me. Wyatt, your mom and dad here? Okay, I'm not going to hurt you. Okay. But here's what I want you to see. Can you come with me? This is little old Wyatt. Now, Wyatt, how old are you? Why, it's nine. Why, it's nine.
I remember when I used to speak like that. 9 months old. I was his size when I was poor. Amen.
Why it represents the nominal Christian. And God gives us a life to live, and we don't know what that life's going to look like. We don't know the things that's going to come. But one of these days, Wyatt, you're going to enter high school. Put your hands out flat. Wyatt's going to enter high school, and God's going to start talking to him. Well, God's already talking to him if he's saved by the good grace of God. But God's leading his life. And then in high school comes pressure, peer pressure. Anybody know anything about peer pressure? Any of y'all that got to have the next iPhone, y'all already know what peer pressure looks like. And then there's going to be a girl. Hey, you're a boy. There's going to be a girl. And Wyatt, because you're a boy, there's going to be a girl. And then there's going to be a family. Now, Wyatt, through all of this, God's over here going, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I want you to do this. And Wyatt can't move. Wyatt's entangled in the affairs of his life. And God says, now I'm going to put this burden on you. And I want you to fulfill that burden. Is Wyatt resting right now? Now, Wyatt, don't worry about them books. What do you need to look at right now? Wyatt, can you look up? Don't worry about them books. Go ahead and look up. Now, Wyatt, can you look up and stay looking up? Can you follow my voice? All right, you come to me, but you keep looking up over there. Can you come to me? Yeah, yeah. Now, let me show you right now, Wyatt. Okay, you can look at me. What that represents is there's nothing going on in your life more important than you hearing the voice of God and following it. Okay? Now, the nominal Christian in this room, what we want, what we say, what we expect, is God has to do this. God's got to take... This has got to be easier. This can't be that big of a problem for me. God, well, if you gave me this woman, then you best control her. And did I say mountain people? I tell all the time, I'm from the flatland. Mi esposa es de las montañas de Carolina del Norte. My wife is from the mountains of North Carolina. That'll hit you in a minute. And so we're entangled in this thing. And we think that God has to do all of this. And we're just waiting. And what happens is by the time God gets all this, we think he's lightened our load. But no, he's taken away our responsibilities because we can't follow him and do it at the same time. Now what's that look like? A wreck. It looks like an absolute wreck because we're handling them ourselves. Now, Wyatt, what God wants you to do is he wants you to hold these things tight because what he's going to do is he's not going to come by and take them one by one. He's going to come by and he's going to take them all and with you at the same time. That right there, my friend, is what resting in God looks like. If you got to have your junk removed before you follow God, you'll never have your junk removed. Hey, man, revival is about being revived. It's about getting junk removed from your life so God can swing by, pick you up, and put you where he wants you. But you won't rest. Some of you right now are trying to figure out what you're going to do when you get out of here. Can I tell you? You ought to be trying to figure out how you're going to get in while you're in here. That's why we can't have revival. Because we won't rest. There is a saying that God's word says it. I believe it, and that settles it. But I believe there's a more correct version of that. The Bible says it. It don't matter whether I believe it or not. It's in there. It's good for me, just like it's good for you. Now, you go right ahead. Thank you, Wyatt. Somebody give that boy a dollar bill after the service so he can take me to Starbucks. Amen. Now, we've gone through all the junk. God says, look, I done told you. Jesus Christ is above everything. He is everything. Those angels, spiritual beings, the spiritual talk that we like to use, Jesus is above that. Then we get into man worship. Oh, I like old brother worship. Yeah, but you know what? Jesus is bigger than your leader. And if you're going to rest, it's going to take you applying your faith, and this is where some of the problem comes from, to the Word of God, and allowing the Word of God, taken by the Spirit of God, to intermingle with our faith to allow us to rest. We figure all these things out, do we not? We got retirement figured out, don't we? We got retirement figured out to the point where we know how it's going to be, how we're going to rest. But we're not figuring out how to enter into God's rest. Now look with me in verse number 12, because he gives us the key. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Nothing goes deeper, nothing goes broader, nothing gets closer than the Word of God. You don't need a therapist. You don't need to take 1,700 pills. You don't have to talk to your best friend on the gossip line. You don't have to post everything on Facebook. There's a God in heaven that if we just focus on him, he'll take his word and he'll, look what he says here. Turn with me to John chapter 14, please. And I don't know what time we go to lunch here or go home. Somebody said one. Look here with me in John chapter 14. Verse number one, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So we know where he's at now. We know what he's doing. We know it'll be done when he gets back. Now listen. And whither I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. And then here comes who? Super spiritual. Thomas. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Can you not rest in that? Just knowing, number one, that there's only one way, and if you're saved by the good grace of God today, you're in that way. He's the truth. We have all truth. We are led and guided in the truth. Think about these things this morning. And look with me in 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. The Bible says, but beloved, this is saved people, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, and hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now the astonishing part about this verse is it doesn't seem to be enough for the modern day Christian. Now, so he carries on in verse number 5 to help you divide who you are versus who you're listening to. They're of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now think about this. We're of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Here we go. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. I love this love because it's an unconditional love. It's a love when we were lost. It was a love after we got saved. It's a love as we grow. And it's a love when we make our way. God is a God of love. And people that are in rest, people that are resting in the Word of God, people that are resting in the presence of God, people that are resting in the service of God, guess what they do? They love. I don't know about y'all, but I'm about tired of folks running down our country. Huh? About tired of these people busting down our borders. Hello? These are my people. I'm about tired of dope. I'm about tired of alcohol. I'm about tired of profanity. I'm about tired of Christian profanity. I'm about tired of Christian drinking. Y'all hear me? I'm about tired of Christian smoking and chewing. Hello? I'm about tired of it. But if I just focus on those things, I'll miss what God has for me. And God wants me to love the very people that we're amening right now. See, it's not till this thing changes that these things change. When this thing changes, these things change, and so do these things. Look with me, please, in Romans chapter number 12, another very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. The Bible says in verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I believe those that died in the wilderness, I believe they entered in and were part of that crowd that does their reasonable service. I don't know necessarily that it was a living sacrifice. I don't know that it was holy. I don't know that it was acceptable unto God. But I know at some point in time they chose to do the baseline. And so when things got tough and things got tighter and their focus began to be on the rituals of man, the traditions of man, the religion of the world, it caused them to fail. But look at verse number 2. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, how do we get there? By the renewing of our mind. Now, think about it. When we go back to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, that's how it gets done. It's only going to be done through the Word of God. I tell our Spanish-speaking people, when they come to Christ, we started with 8. And like I said, when we left, we were a little over 80. Before COVID, much like every church in the country, it proved Christianity, right? And everybody quit this and quit that and added that and took away this. And I just told people back then, we had 120 people. And I said, look, if you can't get in, if you can't understand this thing, then just give me 6 months. Just give me 6 months. You know, when you signed on to your job, you didn't sign on to be spotty. You didn't sign on not to be faithful. But when you signed on for a lack of better terms for life. I remember my dad, when my sister died, my dad took 6 months of sick time. I didn't even know what that meant. But I'm like, Dad, how are you going to have 6 months of sick time? He said, son, I ain't never took a sick day in 30 years. And I'm like, oh. faithful. But see, this thing here, what we're doing this morning, it's an option for most. I'll be here this Sunday. I guess it gives me good for a couple weeks. They saw me, that means they won't call me. See, when folk are spotty, when folks aren't faithful, then that means there's something wrong in here. And so I tell my people, I'm like, hey, give me 6 months. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, give me 6 months. That's all we need. If you sat in Sunday school as a child for 6 months straight, you can stay out of church the rest of your life and have Bible enough to live. Hey, man, right there. Especially if you're sitting under this man. But you get what I'm saying. See, it's the Word of God that does the work. It's us that are missing. Now, let me show you another thing that will help you to rest. Work will help you to rest. Look with me in Matthew. Now, here's another little tidbit that COVID helped us with, right? I ain't never seen so many people in pajamas in all my life. I believe in pajamas. I think y'all ought to have 6-8 pair of them. I think y'all ought to wear them. But I don't think y'all leave your bedroom in them. Hey, man, right there. I've given a little slack in my later years. I used to think you had to wear a suit and tie to bed, be a fundamentalist. But I'm beyond that. I got over myself. But COVID just made us slap lazy. I don't have to comb my hair no more. I can just go out in public. It don't matter. Ain't nobody going to see me. No, as long as everybody you know is one of them keyboard cowards that sits at home behind a computer all their life. Boy, it's like, I tell you what's the truth. It's made us lazy. And you watch every one of them gordos come out of their house after COVID, and what happened? They done gained 20, 30 pounds. Hey, man, right there. Got 6 more inches of hair on them. You ain't gonna tell me the last 2 years they've been walking with God behind that big old phantom screen and playing video games 24 hours a day. Can't get back to the house of God. You hear me and you already know somebody in your heart and mind. God done stirred it. You need to go after them people. But what's happened to the Christian is we become just as lazy, it's just not as visible. You're welcome. Matthew 28, please. While you're going there, let me read this little one for you one more time. In John 14:15, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. My wife, she asked me to do a lot of things. And I do those things to prove my love for her. That, and I'm about half scared, to be honest with you. But I do those things. I obey, I keep her word in the forefront of my mind so that I can do what she's asked me to do because I love her. Some of you men are already looking at me like I'm messing your life up. It's a life of service. She's not my servant. We're in this together. There are many times she's been a blessing to me just through asking me if everything's okay. There have been many times, Brother, I don't want to answer her. But I try to keep her word in the forefront of my mind so that I can be a blessing and a help. Jesus said the same thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, again, this is where the spiritual world loves it. I keep his commandments. I got it right here in my heart. I got it right here. I know exactly what this verse said. I know exactly what this verse said. And that's the problem with us today. We're spiritually fat people because we're not exercising our faith. Now, don't be like me and join the same gym, but just hear what I'm saying. Matthew chapter 28, the Bible still says this. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. I get it. We can do church. We can worship the Lord. But the Bible says, even in that worship, some doubted. He goes on to say, and Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, when he refers to this power, we're talking about the power of God is accessible to us. The same power that we just celebrated a couple weekends ago is still the same power that we have accessible to us today. And because we're going to need that power for his upcoming task, because if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. The Bible says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And because of this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now that's a command given directly to us. Each and every one of us are responsible. Now, who can reach mountain people best? And if you love me, you'll keep my... Go ye by the grace of God, with the help of God, we're trying to do that. And I think each of us will enter into that rest when we realize the severity of this go ye command. And it's an interesting concept when you look with me at Acts chapter number 1, please. At Acts chapter number 1, and I apologize if your crock pot's running over. Acts chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, you remember that verse that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord? That means it'll happen, right? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we don't doubt that for 1 second, do we? As Bible-believing Christians, that's exactly what happened to us. The Word of God came to us. The Spirit of God convicted us. We saw our need for a Savior. We accepted Him as Christ, as Lord. Right? And we believe that shall. But look at this shall. That the Holy Ghost has come upon you and ye shall. Ye will. Ye will, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. Now I want you to think about this. This faith, we enter into God's rest. We rest, we serve the Lord. Serving the Lord is keeping his commandments, doing what he's asked us to do. Now, what keeps us from that? Well, we're going to get there. Thank you for asking. Look with me at 1 John. In 1 John, chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. On the other hand, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, then we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, revival means to be revived. It means it has the indication that we once lived. And then as we've let this world beat us down, as we've wandered in the wilderness of our hearts, we've come to a point in time where we have two options on the shelf. One is to say, yes, Lord, I've wandered in the wilderness. Confess that. Enter into that rest. The other is to die in the wilderness. Now, obviously, we're not talking about a spiritual death here because these are saved people. But I think we're going to be coming very short when we get to heaven, when we've spent the majority of our lives walking in the wilderness, but putting on a facade. You know what it's time for? It's time for the children of God to get real with a real God. This, you know, I don't want to upset anybody. That's got to go out the window. I remember, y'all may remember this. Some of y'all been around long enough to remember it. I remember my nanny. I remember my nanny spending the night with my nanny. And my nanny sitting there cooking over the stove. She'd tell me to reach. She had an old church box full of scriptures. She'd tell me, reach in there and get one of them scriptures and read it. Now, nannies are babysitting. Nannies can't get the iPhone, the iPad out of the face of the youngin. And I don't know about you, but my nanny, if I didn't respond to my nanny, I wouldn't have had to guess what was happening, because by the time it entered my head, it was fixing to hit my head. But nannies used to teach youngins, because youngins back then were taught to respect nannies. The Bible said, let the gray-haired ladies of the church teach the younger ones. We don't do that anymore. We talk about them. And let the hoary-haired men teach. Them gray-haired fellas that got some experience in life, there's some younger fellas in here that need some of that experience but don't have the gumption enough to come to you and ask for it. And that's probably well wired in the timeline of God's word, because it doesn't say that the younger men will come to the older men. It says that the older men will teach. So when you're sitting there thinking, I'm done, I've done my time, God's saying, no, it's your time now. Get up. Interact. If somebody's living outside of the will of God and you know you should interact with that individual, iron sharpeneth iron. See, we'll never have revival as long as we're agreeing with each other's sin. Bunch of Christian school kids. We'll never have revival as long as Nanny and Pawpaw think that they're in the place of Nanny and Pawpaw. When you come into the church, you're not Nanny and Pawpaw anymore. You're a seasoned saint of God. You're valuable to the point where God, don't look away from me, where God says, you've got a job. If you're under 50, I'm 51, so I'm going to say, if you're under 50, no. If you're under 55, let me break your little world. We don't know everything. You can't tell a youngin' nothing these days because Google done ruin them. Google, Facebook, Instacart, Snapchat, all this other junk. They out there, if I need to know something, I ask Siri. Siri ain't going to tell you you're as carnal as the world, and you ain't going to ask her. Hello. If the children of God want revival, want the presence of God, it's on us to seek Him. I praise God for every soul that gets saved. No doubt about it. But I'm going to tell you, when that becomes the rockin'est point in our worship, there's probably some things we ought to check. It's going to start with me. Am I a personal soul winner? Am I living in such a way that I can obey every impulse of the Spirit of God in my life, where when I'm walking and God says, give them a track, that I can just pull out a track and hand it to them because the Spirit of God said so? When it comes time for the family to gather around, am I going to be the spiritual leader that I'm supposed to be, that the Bible commands me to be? Am I going to be? See, we like that patriarchal junk in the church. But I'm going to tell you, everything that happens in the church is a result of what takes place in your home. You want to be a spiritual leader, start there. You want to be a disciple of Christ, learn how to walk in the will of God. Well, what's the will of God for me, preacher? Well, if you're a teenager... No. If you're still under the roof of your mom and daddy, the will of God for you is to be the best son or daughter you can be. Well, what's the will of God for me? Well, if you're a mom or a daddy, the will of God for you is to be the best spouse you could be, and then be the best parent you could be. Well, what about a nanny and pawpaw? You just relax. No. Be the best nanny and pawpaw you can be. Now, we're not going to lie in church. Hopefully you don't lie outside of church. Some of you do because I heard you. I'm just playing. Y'all from the mountains. I'm go start the car, honey. Here's what we're going to do. We got a pianist. She's going to come. Where's the pianist? She's going to come. And I know I'm messing this whole thing up, and I'm sorry. But what we're going to do this morning, the pianist's going to come. She's going to play. We're going to stand. If you're able to stand, we're going to stand. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to seek the face of God together. The special meeting starts this evening. God wants to deal with where you're at right now. Now, as they begin to play, the first question I have is this morning, if you're here, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you don't